The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to the Sato Karate On Air Dojo, your community karate club that has been part of the Nelson and the Top of the South for 50 years. Introducing hundreds of people to the benefits of Sato Karate through dojos located in Nelson, Stoke, Richmond, Motueka, Blenheim, and beyond. My name's Eric, and in our on-air dojo, I'll be talking with the people that have helped make it such a remarkable place to learn Sato Karate. Brought to you by Nelson Eye Surgeons. This week, we have the privilege of speaking with the head of Sato Karate New Zealand, Eiko Hanchi Renzi Hannum, co-founder of Sato Karate in New Zealand. Eiko Hanchi Renzi leads as head instructor of the Christchurch Shibu, a title that he's held for over 50 years. Seishan Aaron is also with us today, and I'm looking forward to exploring Sato Karate further with these two great teachers. Welcome, Eiko Hanchi Renzi.
Thank you.
And welcome, Seishan Aaron.
Eric. And Eiko.
Eiko Hanchi Renzi, I'm not overstating the fact that you've trained literally thousands of karate students, seeing them grow and develop from white belts through to black belt and beyond. Let's go back a few years, and if you could just tell us what got you started on your own journey in martial arts.
Well, I started judo when I was 14 because a friend of mine at high school started, so he encouraged me to start with him. So I was 14 at the time at a club called Can-Am-Ju, which is the oldest judo club in Canterbury.
Wow. And you've progressed through that. Do you see that there's a lot of commonality between judo and karate?
Yes and no. I mean, they're both martial arts, so, and they both have grading systems. They both have their own unique hierarchical structures, and their sense of etiquette is quite different.
Yes.
In many, many ways. So I started when I was 14, and I got my black belt when I was 18. So at that time, I was the youngest in the country.
The youngest in the country.
Yes, so that was quite a privilege.
Absolutely. After black belt, what then got you into karate?
Well, Doug Holloway, or I'm not sure what his honorific title is now, but he's wanted to start up a karate club, and he came to the judo club rooms asking if he could rent or take some space. So I was quite keen because I was very interested in karate. I'd read about Master Oyama, so I was quite intrigued. So he got to be able to train, teach on it during the weekend, which was served both the judo club and us very well.
Around about what sort of time was this?
That was in 1965.
Gosh. And so karate was probably not well known at all then in New Zealand at all, I would imagine.
Not at all. I mean, he was a pioneer in karate, and he trained in Japan, I think, in 1962. So he's one of the first foreigners to train in Japan. And he got his first degree black belt in 1964 under Oyama. Mm. So he was a real pioneer of karate in this country. Yeah. And we all owe him a great debt.
Absolutely. So how did you come to meet that great teacher, Oyama? Sorry, because I don't know that much about him. So a little bit more would be great.
1969, Sean Doug Holloway, as he was then, and five of us, was myself, Wayne Wendelken, Rich, Jamie Tullock, Trevor Trainer, and Hilton LeBeau. We travelled to Japan and trained for 3 months quite intensively. And we were fortunate to be able to train alongside several people that became all Japan champions. One became a world champion. So it was a great learning experience, to say the least.
I would imagine so. And what an experience too, because I imagine, was that your first trip out of the country?
Yes. And two of us were very fortunate to be used as models in one of Shosei Aoyama's books called Advanced Karate. So we got to spend some quality time with Shosei, which was lovely.
Yes. And so that culture that you came into in Japan, did you find that quite a big shock to try and adjust to? Because I imagine, in addition to the training, that would have been quite a challenge.
I guess it must have been. It was a fair while ago, so I don't remember it specifically, but obviously we did adapt, and it has to be said that Shosei Aoyama was very kind and generous to us and made sure we were well looked after.
Gosh. So in terms of then meeting all these other beginners in the karate field, so how did you get to meet then Eikahanchi Andy?
Well, I met him through our tournaments initially, and then he moved to Christchurch with his job.
Mm.
He was a rep for Reed's publishing company. And so obviously we combined resources, and the rest is history, I guess. We got on very well, had a great deal of respect for each other, didn't always agree, but we never had an argument.
Right.
So it said something about the sustainability of the hierarchical system and the nature of karate itself. So
yes,
we became close friends, at least from my perspective, we were.
Yes. When you say that you met during sort of a tournament, was it? Were you actually competing against each other as well, or alongside each other?
Alongside. I don't think I ever competed against them in a tournament. We sparred together quite regularly, of course, but not. I don't remember ever competing against them in a tournament. Thank goodness, I say.
I was going to say. So I was just going to say, how was it sparring with Eikahanchi Andy? Is there something that you remember from those encounters?
Yes, the last time we sparred was in New York, and Kaicho got us to fight each other, and he broke it up. That's my last memory.
So what?
I think it was getting messy.
It was
somewhat competitive, Eiko, I would imagine.
I guess it was, yes, but we both had, from my perspective, a great admiration for each other, so...
Nice.
It was a mutual respect, which was lovely and sustained a long time over many years.
Nice. So you mentioned that the last time that you trained, or that you sparred with Eikahanchi Andy, was in New York with under Kaicho. So with that move into Sado, what karate from? Because you'd been learning, is it Kyokushin prior to that?
Kyokushin, yes.
Yeah. So how did you come to decide, along with Eikahanchi Andy, to shift across to Sado?
Well, in 1976, Kaicho resigned from Kyokushin to form his own style, Sado Juku, which, as we know, was based in New York. So both myself and Eikahanchi Andy wrote to Kaicho asking him if we could join, because whilst we had and still have a great admiration for Kyokushin, we'd heard so much, I'd heard so much about Kaicho in Japan that I felt that this might be a way to go, and have never regretted that decision.
No. So how was Sado Karate sort of explained to you, I suppose? What was the concept that really that must have really inspired you and sort of fired your imagination, that it has meant that you've, spent the better part of your life, you know, working in Sado Karate and promoting this particular form of karate?
Well, I guess it's encompassed in Kaicho's book, The Human Face of Karate, So I guess one of the things that appealed to us both was the human face of Sado, and that it was about developing people.
Mm.
That's not to say Chok Shin didn't do that. It does. But we just were attracted to Kai Cho himself and his philosophy because we'd heard so much about him. Yes. And when the year he left Kyok Shin, three of us from Christchurch went over to take part in the opening ceremony of the World Sado Karate. And at that time, I was fortunate enough to test for Yodan along with Eiko Hanchi, Charles Martin, and Shuseki Shion, William Oliver. So
gosh,
that kind of reinforced the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So there was this, I suppose this mana, actually really right from the start, with such a powerful showing of karateka.
And I think the other sense, it was connection. We felt a sense of connectedness. And when you're connected to something, there's a great deal of joy goes with that. So it was quite a lovely combination to experience. It was still challenging, it was still hard, but there was a human face to it which we were attracted to.
Yeah, so that's, and when you speak of the connection, is that that's to Kai Cho, or is that to the philosophy that was or that is Sado Karate?
Both. Mm. Both. And also we both made friends amongst the Hombu students, which has lasted years.
Mm.
So all those things gathered together to make it a very compelling story for us both.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And also, okay, those days when you went to New York and were training with Shuseki William Oliver and Eiko Hanchi, Charles, must have been phenomenal as far as with their skill and, you know, you, and training and sparring with them, etc. It must have been an amazing time for you.
Yes, and I was involved for the demonstration with Shan, William Oliver at Madison Square, and of course both Eiko Hanchi, Andy and myself were part of the team from New York that went to Japan, and we were part of the demonstration team. So we had a lot of really compelling experiences which, you know, last a lifetime, really.
Absolutely.
So I suppose that's with Sato in general. Eiko, now if realize even myself, and I'm sure Eric too, is the connections that you have with the students that you train with are those bonds that sometimes you don't get elsewhere.
No, and well, Nelson will know all about this. You're having your 50th year anniversary this year, and next year is our 60th. So, yes. And, you know, there's people that have been training for that long a time, or almost that long, so you know, when you've got relationships that go back 50 to 60 years, that's very powerful.
Absolutely. And then
as they say, you can't buy that in a bookshop.
No. No, you can't. But, and it's true because, of course, it's, yeah, and you're not just sitting sort of quietly with them. You know, you're experiencing real highs and lows, you know, as they, you know, come to grips with maybe a new kata or, you know, they're feeling challenged because, you know, maybe they had a late night the night before and sparring is lacking in energy. But and you're traveling with them as they progress through the years, through these classes. And I can, you know, and for me, that I've seen that myself as well. You know, you get a real sense of camaraderie and sort of you draw inspiration from each other. Was that that was probably the same with yourself, Eiko, with Hanchi, Andy as well?
Oh, undeniably, yes. I mean, that probably was one of the things that maintained our enthusiasm over such a long period of time.
Mm.
And as I've said, we didn't always disagree, but we never had an argument. We always got on.
Yeah, yeah, and
which, because of the mutual respect, because he was hugely competent So I had an immense respect for his ability.
Yes.
Not to mention his durability.
Yes.
Us.
Absolutely. Us.
Yeah, from my perspective, Aiko certainly obviously is Aiko's son. And you knowing me since I was a little twinkle in his eye, I would imagine that the bond between you two was, although slightly different characters, was very was unbelievable from me. You were like your brothers, really, not just fellow karateka. It's pretty special.
Yeah, and that's the description I would use. I felt like I'm the only child, so I felt like he was my brother.
Hmm.
And many layers attached to that. So it was, from my point of view, a lovely relationship.
Absolutely. And so, yes, you mentioned, of course, that it's this year is the 50th year of the Nelson Shibu, and, of course, next year is the 60th year of the Christchurch Shibu. So in that, in the 60 years, well, 59, is there a couple of highlights or an experience that you go, well, that actually encapsulates so much of Mace, basically what Sado was all about, or, you know, it has really inspired you?
I couldn't really name one outstanding experience because from my perspective, there's been many of them. And yes, because there are many layers to this relationship, some experiences have an impact on one layer, other experiences have an impact on another. For instance, say Aiko Hanchand and I going to Japan and being part of the New York team and demonstrating at the Meiji Shrine and being on primetime television, you can't forget those kinds of experiences. Nice. But then there are the other little vignettes that happen when you travel, as you both know, that come to mind as well, the bonds and friends that you make. Of course, some of them are past, and that's hugely sad. Nice. So all these things make a compelling story, mm, want of a better word.
Us. And so, yeah, here in October, of course, we're having the Sato Karate International Tournament, which is going to be very exciting. And obviously that's a really big deal on the Sato Karate calendar, is it not, for both sort of nationally and internationally?
Yeah, undeniably. So it'll be, something to really look forward to.
Yeah, I think.
And
us.
I was going to say, knowing Sean Aaron, it'll be very well run and very well presented, so it'll be a great success.
Us.
Absolutely.
Okay, us.
Yeah, no, we're very much looking forward to it. In fact, we were down at the location, the Nelson College for Girls gym, where it's going to be held, and just putting our feet on the floor. And we had a couple of Junjihans there, actually, just sort of having a look around, and they couldn't but help themselves to start spontaneously doing a kata. It felt like, it was a really good place to have the tournament. So very, very exciting times.
So around the tournaments and things, I mean, obviously you and Dad have had a lot of experience in tournaments, and you've had a lot of experience of training world champions and from Christchurch, and you can think of, a few out of Christchurch offhand, Meredith and Meredith Sawyers and Tony Cope, etc. Your thoughts on the benefits of the tournament for students, not obviously one's going to be a winner, but sometimes it's more than that.
Yes, I think everyone should try and experience a tournament at least once in their life, because it's such a learning experience and it's such an opportunity to learn. So I'm an advocate of people participating. As you know, Sato doesn't lay huge amount of importance on tournaments, but when they do happen, they are important and they are significant. So I think people should make the most of that opportunity, because it's a huge growth curve when you enter one, and what you learn from it is a life lesson.
Yeah. And I mean, you've had plenty of experiences in that regard, Aiko. And I'm sure that anyone that registers for the tournament will also get these amazing experiences. Everything is just, you learn so much more, so much quicker, I think, during the course of a tournament.
Yes, and even though we're competing against each other, there's a huge fellowship attached to it.
Oh, that's key.
I was going to say those bonds carry you for life often.
Osaka, and that's certainly been my experience. Win or lose, it's been friends forever. Osaka, I just thought I'd talk on the significance of Nadame visiting as well for our tournament, and obviously that's combining a very senior promotion in Nelson Shebu on the Friday, and how significant that is for New Zealand Soto, considering all the gentlemen that are taking place in that.
It's hugely significant, and as you probably know, my partner and I are heading off to New York in September, so we're hoping to obviously catch up with Kaicho and Nadame and just have a talk about the future of Sato and what it's going to look like, the pathway. So Nadame coming out to Nelson's of huge significance.
Absolutely. So, and in terms of your thoughts on Sato in the future, what are some key points that spring to mind for you, or what would you like to see?
Well, the way I've run my affiliate dojo is that I've encouraged them to be independent.
Nice.
So up to Sandan, including Sandan, the various branches, assuming they're of the appropriate grade, can grade up to that level. But beyond that, they come to Christchurch, because my sense is that that is the time when they need to reconnect and realise they're part of a bigger whole, so part of a bigger picture. So that's the way I've organised it. It could well change depending on the nature of where Sato goes, which is one of the reasons why I'm going to New York to talk to Kaicho and Nadame to get clarity around this. And, of course, the fact that Nadame's making the effort to come to Nelson is significant.
Absolutely. No, it's incredibly exciting. And it really puts that stamp, not only sort of approval, but the real blessing on the new dojo that we have. I know I walk in there and it just feels like it's always already been there. So it already carries, you know, a lot of grace of everyone that's been there.
Yeah, the mana.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, in a way, it's the transition time when the Nadame comes out, because we're transitioning from, you know, Kaicho to Nadame eventually. Right. So it's all hugely significant and important.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel the same, Aiko, with obviously my transitioning into taking on my father's dojo, really, and that significance of Nadame coming here, and obviously, you know, second in charge of World Sato Craig Organisation, and that connection for me and him, but also that connection between you and him, and all the other, you know, seniors and juniors that have probably maybe never ever seen Nadame but only heard of him. I think it's huge for New Zealand Sato.
And it's important for him as well.
Of course.
That he meets these seniors. I think it's significant all around. So it's a two-way thing, two-way street.
Awesome.
I think it's important both ways. And as New Zealand was the first foreign country to come under Sato's wing, I think that has significance as well, that he's honouring that memory, which is quite lovely.
That makes it extra special. So New Zealand was only the first country outside of New York to
as far as I'm aware. Yep.
Wow.
That's really impressive. That's great. As we draw the interview to a close, just if you had a group of students that you were sort of giving some advice to in terms of maybe their practice or their mental approach to Sado. What are your thoughts on what you would say?
Enjoy it.
Enjoy
and whatever
it,
yeah. lies that too, because joy is the antidote to fear. But when you're thoroughly connected to what you're doing, regardless of whatever that is,
nice.
There's no space or gap for doubt or all those other things. So the more connected you feel to the dojo, the more joy there is, the more harmonious it is. Doesn't stop it from being challenging,
nice.
But it makes the challenge meaningful. And so from my perspective, enjoying it.
Absolutely. No, that's great advice, Eiko.
Awesome.
No, well, thank you very, very much for your time, Eiko Hanshi Renzi. We've really enjoyed talking with you and found out, you know, just a bit more, not only about, you know, the leaders and the beginnings of Sado, but how we can experience Sado karate now and how that is such a great thing to start because of the development that you gain. So thank you, Eiko Hanshi Renzi. It's been a real privilege to speak with you today.
Awesome, Eiko.
Thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity. Awesome.
Thank you, Eiko.
Awesome, Eiko. Awesome, Sian Eric.
Awesome. Thank you, Eric.
If you're interested in finding out more about Sado Karate, then you can check us out on Facebook. With dojos throughout the region, there's bound to be one near you. See you next time at the Sado Karate On Air Dojo. Us.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.